What is your God's name? Part 69. I'm Professor Hannes Redenhuis of the First Assembly of Yafashua in South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of the books which I've written, maybe the book What is Your God's Name, which is the handbook which I've written. It's an A5 book, more than 500 pages. So it's good to have the book to also make your own study from it. You can contact us at WhatsApp numbers, international code for South Africa is +27 0722 367 124. Just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za. If this is the first time that you are about to participate in our study, you are so very welcome. Hallelujah. Please go to part one, start from the beginning, because you've missed out on quite a bit of information. Also, very important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive all the different notifications of all the studies that we're busy with, as well as our TikTok messages. Please send this link to your friends and families. Make sure at least have a 1611 King James Bible, pen and a notepad ready. It's very important to know that we do not associate ourselves with any churches, denominations, organizations, any church in the world. We are only an end time Bible study, and we are functioning throughout the world. May this study be a blessing unto you in the name of Yafashua. We are going to continue where we left off last week. Now, you will remember the demonstration that I've done with the water, the two glasses, and then the empty one, I said was Yafashua, and then the right arm. So I just want to refresh your mind about it. If you haven't seen it, go to part one. Start from the beginning, because you missed out on quite a bit of information. We are again just going to mention the Godhead of Yafashua. Isaiah 53 verse 1 to 7 said, now we studied this scripture, I need to use it as a springboard to get to the next scriptures. He, that's Yafashua, was oppressed, and he, Yafashua, was afflicted, yet he, Yafashua, opened not his mouth. He, Yafashua, is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers, he is easy dumb. And he, Yafashua, opened not his mouth. Now he says, after studying the above four scriptures, we must agree that the references in the scripture surely identifies Yafashua as the right arm of his father. This we understand. Again, I need to draw your attention to the fact that only the right arm of Yahweh's father was revealed in Yafashua, and not the fullness of the Godhead. Although there's a scripture that says, and Yafashua obtained the fullness of the Godhead. He couldn't. His body obtained the fullness of the Godhead, what his body could obtain. Otherwise, he would have just exploded. It's impossible that one human body can obtain the fullness of the Godhead, of the Creator of heaven and earth. Just look into the sun. See what happens if you look into the sun. My next question is, if Yafashua was the arm of Yahweh Almighty, why did it take him 30 years before he did the first miracle on earth? If he was the son, the right arm, why did it took him 30 years to do the first miracle? The question forms part of an answer to understand the Godhead of Yafashua. The answer to this question will be revealed in this study, but only if you can understand what is going to happen when you will know the reason for the Godhead of Yafashua. We're going to read Matthew 3 verse 9 to 17. It is always wonderful when other scriptures confirms the subject that we are currently busy with. Matthew 3:9. And think not to say within yourself, we Israel have Abram to our father. For I, that is Apostle John, say unto you that Yahweh our Elohim is able of these stones to rise up children unto Abram. Do you understand that? Yes, Yahweh can just speak a word, and the stones can become children of Abram. What we understand from the scripture is that Israel boasts about the fact that they had Abram as their father. John the Apostle, reminded them that Yahweh the Elohim could even use Gentiles, which were stones. Gentiles were seen as stones, outcasts, to become children of Abram. You see, what the problem is, we were never taught the figurative speech. Here, where Apostle Matthew is explaining what is happening, where they don't realize that it's actually referring to the Gentiles, that John the Immerser, John the Baptist, said to the people of Galilee, of Jordan, because he baptized them in the Jordan River, that he can make out of the stones these Gentiles. He can make children of Abram. But today, we are not Gentiles anymore. We are not stones anymore. We are part of the bride of Yahushua, and we are known to be Yahwist. That means followers of Yahushua. So was his disciples. Verse 10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit in their down, and cast into the fire. So now he's busy speaking to the nation of Israel, and he identifies them as dry trees that does not bear fruit. Why? Because they were practicing the 613 laws of Moses. They were offering the blood of animals. When Yahushua preached the message and the gospel of salvation for 2 years unto the nation of Israel, they rejected him. They say he's not our Redeemer, he's not our Messiah, he's not our Savior. Give us Barabbas. Pontius Pilate washed his hands in water and said, find now no sin in Yahushua. He's not our Redeemer, he's not our Messiah. Crucify him. Then they shout, let his blood be upon us and our children's and generations to come. And that's why Israel is going through the great tribulation. And that is where 1/3 of Israel, the nation of Israel, is going to accept Yahushua as a Redeemer, Messiah, and his Savior. So what does Apostle Matthew says here in verse 10? Then the axe is all laid there on the roots of the tree, ready to just chop it out, cast it in the fire. After studying the scripture, I understand that John the Immerser, in his preaching, he's saying that Israel is not bringing forth fruit. No, it's not John, it is he preached, because Matthew, Apostle Matthew, was referring to John the Immerser. That was the message that he preached. He said that the axe is against the root. You need to repent. You need to accept Yahushua. Every tree that does not bear fruit, every Israelite that does not bear fruit, will be chopped out. They will be taken away. This means chop them out. They will be separated from the grace of Yahushua 2,000 years ago. When Father Yahweh sealed their ears, that's Israel, to see and not to see, and the ears not to hear and not to accept and to hear. The message of salvation went to the Gentiles. This is what it means. They did not bring fruit, the fruits of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. They did not want to accept the message of salvation through the revelation blood of Yahushua, the redemption blood of Yahushua. They didn't want to accept that. They did want to continue in their lives of just obtaining the 613 laws, because it was so convenient for them. They didn't need to live in holiness. They didn't need to worry about sin. Why? Because next year they're going to sacrifice a little dove or a lamb or a goat or whatever. Actually, they made sure that they have enough stock, livestock. So next year they will have a big enough offer. The one that was chasing prostitutes, he would just make sure he's going to have two lambs or three lambs, and he's going to continue with the sin. And that's what we learned from the 613 laws, as yearly the high priest will offer the blood unto atonement, and he will come from the tabernacle or from the temple, and he will say, your sins are your forgiven. There was no regret about their sins. They just continued doing their sin because they knew next year they will have a time of atonement again. And this is where grace comes in. So those trees, John the Immerser spoke, well, Apostle Matthew says, John the Immerser spoke as if the Israelites was dead wood. Why? Not accepting Yahushua. Hallelujah. While preaching to Israel, John told them, he says to them, verse 11, I, John the Immerser, indeed immerse or baptize you with water unto repentance. He what? He says, I am baptizing you or immersing. I like the word immersing. Because baptized, somebody can stand in water, you can just throw a cup of water over them. But immersing is baptisut, it means to cover up, to in full, to close. I, John the Immerser, immerse or baptize you with water unto repentance. So you must turn around. But he that's Yahushua that's coming after me, hallelujah, is mightier than I, whose shoes I, that's John, am not worthy to bear. He, Yahushua, shall immerse or baptize you with the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Holy Ghost, and with fire. Hi, yai, yai, yai. Now, this is all figurative speech. John the Immerser haven't seen where Yahushua baptized anybody with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and with fire, but he is prophesying about what will happen in the future, especially when we look at Acts 2, where in verse 7, where the people were instructed, the apostles, when they were apostles on that stage, were instructed to wait in the upper room. In total, there were 120 people where the Ruach HaKodesh would be poured upon them. It was seen as of tongues of fire. Ay, ay, ay. That divided itself and sat upon each of them. And they spoke in different tongues. To such an extent that the people that was gathering around the upper room heard these Hebrew people speaking in their own languages. We were a Roman language, Greek, and there were maybe Italian people, and we can use different names. Languages. Because when you look at Acts 2, verse 36, the people came to Apostle Peter, and he says, what must we do to be saved? And he says, repent. First, repent. For a sinner to have a changed life, he needs, and she needs, to repent. And let every one of you be immersed in the name of Yahshua to the forgiveness of your sin. You what? You repent. And let every one of you be immersed in the name of Yahshua to the remission of your sin. What does he say? How did John immerse? To the remission of sin? No. He couldn't immerse people with the remission of sin because Yahshua haven't died yet. Instead, on that stage, Yahshua hasn't even come to him. So he says he's teaching and preaching about Yahshua, about things that he hasn't seen. So he is led by the Ruach HaKodesh. He says, and John indeed immersed you with water unto repentance. You need to repent. Bury the old man. Repent. Bury the old man or old woman. Now what does he do? He says, but he that come after me is mightier. So he's now he's explaining about the shoes here. And he will baptize you with the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Holy Spirit, and with fire. But when we look at Apostle Peter in Acts 2:36, he says, repent, listen. He doesn't say to them, immersed, baptize you with repentance. No, no. He says, repent. So repentance has become a qualification of becoming bride of Yahshua. Repent, Acts 2:36, and let every one of you be immersed in the name of Yahshua to the remission of your sin. So we need to bury the old man or old woman of sin who were repented. Bury it. This is what Romans 6 verse 1 to 12 says. Shall we live in sin so grace can abound? No. In the same way that Yahshua died and rose from the dead, so are we. The person that repents are buried and rose from the grave, from the water grave. The old man and woman of sin is buried. The new person in Yahshua arise. In the name of Yahshua. Galatians 3, verse 26-29. Those who were immersed in the name of Yahshua have clothed themselves with Yahshua. There are no more Greek nor Gentile, free man nor slave, man nor woman. But according to the promises of Abram, we are all one. And that is where the woman also becomes part of the bride and the promises of Abram. Because the woman couldn't be circumcised. But the Bible says, Yahweh has no desire that we be circumcised by our flesh. Romans 8. He says, but we be circumcised by our cardinal minds, our soul's dimension. And so does women, ladies, they can. So how does ladies become part of the promises of Father Abram? Through accepting Yahshua as the Redeemer and Savior in the same manner as men do. And we today as Gentiles, who were Gentiles, were immersed, we were buried through the death and resurrection of Yahshua, and we were made alive in Yahshua. We are clothed with the wedding garment, Galatians 3:26-29, and now we need to live in holiness the rest of our lives. Hallelujah. In order when the coming what's going to occur, the parousia, when Yahshua is coming for a bride, where according to 1 Corinthians 15:27-58, where we can be changed from an earthly body into a heavenly body, go meeting Yahshua up in the air. So this is what he says here. He's talking about the fire. Now when we read further, Acts 2 verse 36, and they said to Apostle Peter, what must he do? So what does Apostle Peter do? He's using the keys, the spiritual keys that Yahshua has promised him. I will give you the keys, and where you unlock is lock, and where you lock is unlock in heaven and on earth. And he's using the keys of the revelation in the name of Yahshua. Because Matthew 28 verse 9 says, verse 19 says, go baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What's the name of the Father? What's the name of the Son? What's the name of the Holy Spirit? And that's why we don't find one place in the whole Bible, 611 King James Bible, where anybody were ever baptized or immersed in the name of the Father, the Son. I'm calling them titles. Title of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They were immersed in the name of Yahushua. Not even the name Jesus or the name Isis, because it didn't exist in that time. The name Isis only came into existence in between 100 and 127 AY, the 2nd century. And the name Jesus only came into existence in the 16th century, just more than 600 years ago. So they were immersed in the name of Yahushua to the remission of their sins. Then Apostle Paul says, and you shall receive the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh. For this promise is unto you and your children that's afar. It doesn't mean little babies and children. No, it means generations and generations. We are children of our fathers, but I am 73 years old. You understand that? So what happens generations after generations? The children. And then he says, on that day, 3,000 souls were immersed. In what name? The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No, it's all Catholic baptisms. In the name of Yahushua, to the remission of your sin. The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The upside down cross. So what does he say? He says that John the Baptist, the immerser, says that they must immerse, they shall immerse them with the immersion of repentance, with water unto repentance. Now, did Apostle John spoke to babies, small children? No. It was all adult people that could understand that. Not babies. I think the Jews did not fully understand, because I lived by the law of Moses and had no need to baptize with fire. They didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to them. It was something they never heard of, they never knew, they never seen in operation. And that's why on the day of Pentecost, when the Ruach HaKodesh was poured upon the people, the 120 in the upper room, it drew thousands of people. It drew a big crowd. The crowd was so big that 3,000 people came to repentance. So if every second guy or every second person came to repentance, it should have been more than 6,000 people. Can you imagine a crowd like that? Verse 12. He says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gathers his wheat into the garner, that he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Unquenchable fire. So he says that this is what John the Immerser said. That the sickle, the fan is in his hand, he's ready to bring in the wheat, to tear the wheat, to purge his floor, and to gather his wheat. That his must be a capital H. But he, capital H, will burn up the calf with the unquenchable fire. This scripture is a fact that John was not pulling any punches. And we live in the time today where we must not pull any punches. If this is what the word says, it is what the word says. And we don't need to make any excuses for the word. The word is revelation word. We must not pull punches. If we, his name is not your, it's not Jesus Christ. And when you're in a conversation where they talk about Jesus and Jesus Christ, you must have the boldness to say, have you ever heard about Yahushua? Do you know who's Yahushua? How can you know him if you never heard about him? And the fact of the matter is, we were in the same position. But because of somebody else that had the boldness to stand up and say, but that's not scriptural. This is where the Catholic Church, through Bible translation and reviewing, brought in different names and explained the history of it. And you know what? 99% of the teachings is on the internet. You can see it, you can go there. Just go and ask AI, when was the letter J created? And immediately it's gonna amaze you. Everybody's believe AI. A lot of businesses are run through AI. Insert in their business and rules and regulations. AI is affecting a lot of people's lives. So why not ask the right questions? Yeah, but I don't believe AI is right. But then he must reject everything that he's saying. Because AI say that it has happened in 1524, in the 16th century. The scripture is a fact that John was not pulling any punches, but he was direct and powerful in the punching of the truth. But in other words, turn or burn, as easy as that. The next scriptures will lead us further into the uncovering of the Godhead of Yahushua. Every verse must be studied with caution because it could form a vital part of the mystery of the Godhead of Yahushua. Verse 13. Then cometh Yahushua from Galilee to Jordan. Listen, with John to be immersed or baptized of him. While John was preaching unto Israel, Yahushua came to him with the intentions to be immersed or baptized by him. That's John. Verse 15. But John forbade him, Yahushua, saying, I, John, had need to be immersed or baptized of thee. And comest thou to me? You see, sometimes we doubt our own abilities and the position where Yahweh has placed us in. In this scripture we find that John forbade Yahushua. And John had no intentions to baptize Yahushua and was seeking for a reason not to immerse him. Ay, ay, ay. I'm going to name a couple of points here. One, John surely knew that Yahushua was an orthodox Hebrew person. He knew that Yahushua was circumcised on the eighth day. Such is the tradition of the orthodox Hebrews or Jews. He knew that Yahushua up to that time kept the laws of Moses and has never sinned. He knew that Yahushua kept the Sabbath and all the Jewish feast. According to the Bible, it was known that Yahushua was sinless. John the Immerser could not understand why Yahushua needed to be immersed or baptized. John was busy immersing people in water, and Yahushua instructed him to immerse him, that's Yahushua, also in water. But what John did not know was that which was had to happen. It was part of Yahweh, our Elohim's plan of salvation, revealing the Godhead, the right arm, Isaiah 53 verse 1 to 7, unto Israel. And we must bear with me for a couple of seconds. We are now going to, I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop right here. Because what needs to be said now cannot be rushed through or pushed through. We need to study the word to understand the complexity of it, which is actually so easily understandable. So till next week, if his Father's will, Maranatha, Yahshua's coming back again. Hallelujah.